And we're going to start on the quarterbacks and the tight ends with Baker Lehman, Ty Story, and Kenneth Harris in to put the QBs and the tight ends under the microscope for the 2013 Iron Bowl. And, of course, a lot of the outside talk has revolved around Nick Marshall. Can he throw, or is he completely unable to throw? Is he a run-first quarterback? We'll start with you, Baker. All of the outside noise around Nick Marshall's arm, is it justified, or is it just hopeful Alabama fans?
Well, more than anything, it's a product of the system of why I think that everyone doesn't really believe in his arm strength. I think he has a decent arm. You saw him at least get the ball down the field for that tipped Hail Mary against Georgia. But for the most part, his running is what's going to be his biggest threat, and just making accurate throws, not necessarily big throws, are what you're going to have to look for from Nick Marshall in the Iron Bowl this coming week.
Ty?
I think he's pretty justified with his arm. I mean, he's more of a rushing quarterback, kind of more Cam Newton-esque, if I could say. But he knows how to throw. He was put in a very tough situation for the Georgia game, and he really came through with some pretty good passes, especially that the game-winning pass, although it was some people could say it was lucky, but he made the pass regardless. He knows how to throw. He knows what to do in the situation. I think his arm strength and his passing is just as good as anyone thinks.
Kenneth?
I just think his Alabama fans just thinking he can't throw. If he couldn't throw, then he wouldn't be playing quarterback. They have Jeremy Johnson as a backup who can throw that ball down the field. But I know this is junior college, but in junior college, he had 3,100 around 20 yards and about 19 passing touchdowns. Cam Newton in his junior college year had around 2,800 yards. And I know this is junior college, but the guy can throw. And why would you, as Gus Malzahn, he wants to run the ball. So he's going to continue to do what's working for him until he gets put in a situation where, okay, Nick Marshall, now you have to throw. And I think Nick Marshall is going to be like, okay, I can throw the football. And so I think we're going to see that against Alabama.
We talked about this in the by the numbers segment earlier in the show. So do with this information what you will, fellas. But Nick Marshall has thrown for more than 200 yards in four games this year. Actually, the same number of times AJ McCarron has accomplished that feat. But at the same time, Nick Marshall's thrown for less than 100 yards in a game four times this year. AJ McCarron hasn't done that in a single start, and he's been doing this for 3 years now. So pick which one of those you want to go with. I guess that's up to each individual person. Now let's go to the Alabama side of this quarterback battle. We'll start with you this time, Ty. What does AJ have to do differently to throw on the base 4-2-5 that Auburn's going to bring in? Alabama hasn't seen that yet this year.
Well, definitely 4-2-5 is one of those defenses that really focuses on trying to get towards the quarterback, giving him pressure, and also having that safety that could easily come in anytime and probably mess up everything that has to do with passing. I think what AJ has to do, he just needs to keep his head together and not have some of these situations like he has in some of these other games where he passes in a really tight coverage and he ends up like easily getting intercepted. Well, not all the time, but could get intercepted or the easy incompletions that he has. So if AJ can keep his head, I think he can do good against the 4-2-5.
Kenneth?
I think what AJ has to do is attack these corners, because what that 4-2-5 does is it has more corners on the field than linebackers. And let's be honest, these Auburn cornerbacks aren't the best in the country. So what AJ has to do as an elite quarterback in the SEC is he has to attack these corners, make them work, and then maybe do the play action pass with Amari Cooper, Kenny Bell, and maybe get passes deep downfield, because the corners aren't going to be able to cover all the receivers Alabama has.
Route us out, Baker.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely more of a four-man, obviously it's a four-man front rush attack going against Alabama's offensive line. What AJ McCarron has to do is simply pick weak spots in the zone. They're going to play a lot more zone coverage than man coverage, and he just has to be patient. Alabama's offensive line has to give him time, and he has to be smart in the pocket and getting the ball to receivers are open. And that's what AJ has done such a good job of the last two seasons, is just waiting for a receiver to come open and making smart throws, not trying to force a big play as we've seen from some other more gunslinging style quarterbacks, because AJ can sometimes have the mentality of being.
Now let's go back to the tight ends, and we'll start with you on this one, Kenneth. How does Alabama approach Auburn's set of super versatile tight ends and the fullback even? They've got to use an up back, a tight end. They use the tight end in a lot of different ways in this offense. How does Alabama approach that?
Personally, I think they have C.J. Mosley most of the time is going to be watching Nick Marshall for the read options and different things like that. But I think one of the linebackers, maybe even the safety, is going to have to spy and look at what the tight ends do and even what the fullback does, because if they don't account for him, all Nick Marshall has to do is throw a little dump pass to the fullback, and that's 5 yards, 10 yards, and that's a first down. And so I think the Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, they're going to have to keep good tabs on those tight ends and those fullbacks who are a big part of Gus Malzahn's offense.
Baker?
Yeah, it's definitely going to – I think you're going to see a lot of single safety deep coverage with HaHa Clinton Dix just kind of playing center field, making sure some big pass like the Hail Mary in the Georgia game doesn't happen again. But you're going to see a lot of Landon Collins down in the box covering either these tight ends, these fullbacks, or whatever position that they're in. And him and C.J. Mosley kind of trading that quarterback spy spot, making sure that Nick Marshall, when he's not having a designed run, is just dropping back in a shotgun pass or whatever it might be and tries to, you know, make his own run, that one of those two guys is always on Nick Marshall as well as the other guy then on the tight ends and trying to shut down the tight ends, being that those are probably the two best playmakers on the defense in coverage and in tackling.
Round us out, Ty.
Yeah, I think the best way trying to stop all three of these guys, one main thing, just try to get tight ends off their feet. Like we said, one of the best, pretty much two of the best players on the team. And then the fullback is another player you're going to have to watch a real close eye on, because she has a big effect on the Auburn defense, big on the blocking schemes and in the zone reads, and the tight ends are just as effective. So Alabama's going to have to keep on their toes if they're going to have any chance of stopping this.
Let's round out our position breakdown before we get to the final score predictions from all of you. With you, Ty, for Alabama's tight ends, which group is more important to the game plan? The dual threat you get from Brian Vogler and O.J. Howard, or the straight beef up front in the run blocking game from Jahlstin Fowler and Brandon Green? Which one's more important?
I think it all kind of depends on the type of play. I guess against a more passing, I think I'd probably go for more Vogler and Howard. But if it was more like the running, you're looking for that strength up front, yeah, I'd probably easily go for Fowler and Green. But really, in the end, it just matters on Saban's going to have that mixed effect, and really all four of them are very effective to the team, and it's going to be really all four of them is going to have some kind of rotation in the game that's going to be beneficial to the team. So really, there is no one is better than the other because they're all effective.
Kenneth?
I think the Vogler and Howard, because I think they're going to be passing the ball a lot. I don't know if TJ's hurt or whatever, but they have Kenyon Drake and Derrick Henry. But I think A.J. McCarron's going to be forced to throw the ball a lot more than he has this season. And so you need your tight end, especially Howard, who to me is one of the best tight ends in the country, a guy who can get downfield and make those unbelievable catches. So I'm going to go the Vogler-Howard duo. I think it's more important than having Jahlstin Fowler and those guys blocking for the run.
Round us out, Baker.
Well, I think I have to agree with Ty that it's definitely a balance of both, because the great thing about Fowler is he's one of the top he has some of the – I believe he has four receiving touchdowns this season, which I believe is second on the team. And he's a guy who can do a lot of things for you, much like some of these Auburn fullbacks and tight ends can do. But I think it's going to be a healthy mix. But, going against this, I guess, smaller lineup with the fact that, yes, Auburn has their front six, with two linebackers and four down linemen. But then you have just defensive backs and safeties all around the rest of it. And that's what O.J. Howard and Brian Vogler as well, with their size, can really take advantage of in the passing game. But if you're going to beat Auburn, I think running the ball against them and keeping their offense off the field is important either way. So I think you're going to see a lot of Fowler and then a lot of the two tight end set as well.
Before we end up this first position breakdown here on the Crimson Tide Game Day podcast, we're going to get our final score predictions from these three. We do for all the members of the 90.7 The Capstone sports staff that come in to break down the game for the final time of the regular season, guys. Where did the regular season go? It feels like just a couple weeks ago, Bama was in the Georgia Dome playing Virginia Tech, and now here we are, the regular season's come to an end. We'll start with you, Baker. Final score prediction for the 2013 Iron Bowl.
I like 27-13 in favor of Alabama. I just simply think that the size of Alabama will eventually wear down Auburn. That's what Alabama does. They wear you down, they impose your will on you, and they play great defense throughout. While Nick Marshall is, Kenneth said, is a better passer than a lot of Alabama fans want to give him credit for, the simple fact is that Alabama's defense already has a game plan, has had a game plan for him for a long time, and I fully expect him to go out there and execute against this Auburn team.
Ty?
Definitely a huge game trying to predict. Big SEC and BCS stuff going around with this. It's going to be pretty big game. It's definitely going to come down to Auburn's going to have a big mentality coming into this game, same as Alabama, and it's going to be even more because of the Iron Bowl. It's always going to be a big game, no matter what, no matter how the teams are ranked, even though this one is going to be a much better because it's number one versus number four. It's going to be a tough game regardless because it's the Iron Bowl. But it's going to be a close game, not too close, though, because Alabama's going to win this one, I believe, 38-28.
38-28 in favor of the Tide from Ty Story. Round us out, Kenneth.
It is the Iron Bowl. College game day is going to be there. And, you know, everybody's looking at this game because the winner of this game pretty much either goes plays Missouri or South Carolina SEC Championship. But I'm going to go Auburn, 35-28. I think Nick Marshall, I think these Alabama fans are not giving him enough credit. This guy's a good quarterback, a dual threat quarterback, like a Johnny Football. So I'm going to go Auburn. I think that offense is going to expose this Alabama defense. And the defense, they're going to get tired by running up and down the field with Nick Marshall, Trey Mason, and those guys. So I'm going to go 35-28 Auburn.
First upset pick getting picked early here on the Crimson Tide Game Day Podcast. I want to thank Kenneth Harris, Ty Story, and Baker Lehman for joining us here on 90.7 The Capstone or WVUAFM.UA.edu if you're listening to the podcast online. The position breakdowns are going to continue with the wide receivers and the defensive backs going under the microscope. Baker's going to stay with us, and we're going to have Brooks Carter and Michael Weldon join us to put the wide receivers and the defensive backs under the breakdown here for the 2013 Iron Bowl. We picked on you last time, Baker, so we'll start with you, Brooks. Is Kevin Norwood Alabama's new number one wide receiving threat, or does the bye committee approach benefit Alabama for Auburn? Because it seems like in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, we've seen Kevin Norwood come up with big catch after big catch time and time again.
I don't think he's necessarily the number one guy. I think when it comes crunch time, he's AJ's number one guy during that specific part of the ball game. You know, big game Kevin is what people have kind of started to call him. I like the by committee approach if you have the depth to do that, and Alabama does. They got one of the deepest receiving corps in the country. So I like that approach, you know, spread the ball out, be a little unpredictable, and keep the defense on its toes.
Michael?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, unless you're talking about specifically in the red zone, I'd have to say Kevin Norwood's big there. He's got 6 touchdowns on the year. But, I mean, still considered, the top 4 receivers are only separated by 8 catches. So I still think you got to go by committee.
Baker?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's something that's benefited Alabama since Julio Jones has left, is that wide receiver by committee kind of plan that they've gone to. And a lot of people say, no, it's going to hurt Alabama if they don't have that one guy to go to. Well, they have a bunch of different guys who've all stepped up in crunch time in games past and all know how to make the big play. Yes, Kevin Norwood has certainly been phenomenal down the line. I don't think I've seen him drop a pass in a very long time, if really even at all. So I think what Kevin Norwood does and gives is he's Alabama's ultimate safety blanket. AJ knows that if he throws it around him and gives him a good ball, he's going to catch it no matter what. And I think that's something that Alabama's kind of been he's that key component to Alabama, is that consistency to wide receiver, the Alabama's wide receiving core.
Let's start with you on the next one, Michael. The Auburn wide receiving core, we'll say the jury is still out on how good or how not so good it may be. So we'll get your opinion on that. Rank this Auburn wide receiving core with the other receiving cores Alabama's faced so far this year. Where do they rank, Michael?
I'd have to put them around number 5 or right around the middle of the entire thing. I mean, you have to look down the line. I mean, A&M, Mike Evans, his entire self. Then, of course, LSU with Landry Jones and Odell Beckham Jr. are an obvious there. Ole Miss, Moncrief, and then, of course, Tennessee.
Quan Treadwell.
Yeah. And then, of course, Tennessee and Auburn and Mississippi State are all kind of in a bunch together for me.
Baker?
I mean, I think that they're good. They're a good group of guys. They're D1 college football athletes at one of the more athletic positions in the game. So these guys are obviously talented. Sammy Coates has had a nice year. Ricardo Lewis obviously got the big touchdown pass against Georgia. But to me, it's hard to really key on where this group is because of how run-heavy their offense is, and that they're going to be a zone read run attack first before they really ever even think about throwing the ball. But they're definitely dangerous. You obviously saw Ricardo Lewis outran that Hail Mary by at least 5 or 10 yards, so he's a guy with some speed. And Sammy Coates has had a phenomenal year, averaging 22.9 yards a catch, and has done very, very nice as a 6'2 sophomore.
Round us out, Brooks.
I think, they're definitely right behind. They're behind LSU and Texas A&M. I think they got the best receiving corps of anybody that Alabama's played by far this season. They bring a lot of versatility to the table just because of what they like, of what Gus Malzahn likes to do in his offense. Like Ricardo Lewis, you know, he's got over 150 yards rushing on the year, averaging 10.7 yards a carry. because they like to run the jet sweep and stuff with him. I think, like they said, I don't really think the statistics do Auburn any justice. I mean, their leading receivers got just over 600 yards receiving just because of how run heavy the offense is. But I think they're talented. We just haven't really been able to see that this year.
We're going
to
do the same for Auburn's defensive backfield with all Alabama's other opponents this year. Rank them among the other Alabama opponents. We'll start with you, Baker. Amongst Alabama's now 12 opponents they've played this year, where does Auburn's defensive backfield rank?
I'd have to say, just based on everyone that Alabama's played so far, they definitely have to be in the upper echelon of talent because the three safeties have been very good. The cornerback, Chris Davis, is actually leading the team in tackles with 55 total tackles. And you can kind of take that as a good thing or a bad thing depending on how you want to look at it. But I think that they're because we've seen how bad Texas A&M's defense overall and secondary played. A.J. McCarron torched them for the most part, too. Johnny Manziel gets a lot of the hype for that game, but you should, if you look at the box score, A.J. McCarron played a nearly perfect game in College Station. LSU, once again, has a very good safety tandem and has talented corners and played very well against Johnny Manziel this past weekend, but once again, A.J. McCarron just sliced through him like it was no problem. So to me, I have to believe that, especially because they do that three safety lineup with the 4-2-5, that Auburn has boasts one of the better secondaries that Alabama's played so far.
Michael?
I actually think that they're kind of among the worst, and it's mostly because of the way that their offense runs as well. Like, they get out to such big leads that teams have to throw it on them. They, you know, allow over 250 yards allowed on them through the air per game, with over 200 or 2,800 yards through the air the entire season. It's more or less, I still think, a scheme-wise, just the fact that they do get out to leads quick. And then, of course, as we saw last week again, or 2 weeks ago against Georgia, they came back real quick by throwing the ball just all over the field.
Round us out, Brooks.
I think they're probably right in the middle of the pack. I think LSU and Virginia Tech were definitely much better than they were. LSU's probably got the best defense they've played the entire year. Like you said, they give up a lot of yardage through the air. They actually give up 11 more yards per game through the air than Texas A&M, who I think is probably one of the worst defenses in AQ conference. So I think they're right in the middle of the pack. You know, they run that 4-2-5 defense, which I'm not really a fan of. I like having three or four linebackers in the box. But, yeah, right there in the middle of the pack.
Now, we'll start with you this time, Brooks, as we round out this position breakdown. Alabama's had a revolving door at the number two cornerback spot. Bradley Silvey, John Fulton, Cyrus Jones, Maurice Smith, Eddie Jackson, they've all had their shot at that number two cornerback position. None of them have really separated themselves. Bradley Silvey probably had the best shot, but he's trying to deal with a high ankle sprain. Maurice Smith actually got the start at that spot last weekend against Chattanooga. Is how big of a concern is that number two cornerback spot given Auburn's wide receiving core?
I'm not overly concerned with it for this game now. I mean, I guess maybe moving forward into a potential matchup with a Missouri or a Florida State or Ohio State in the SEC championship or a national championship game setting, I would be because of, you know, obviously they like to throw the ball more and everything. But I'm not overly concerned with it in this game because I think that the rest of the defense has enough talent, you know, to kind of bail them out or anything if they make any mistakes. And like you said, there's been so many guys that have played to this point in the season that, you know, everybody's got a little bit of experience. So, you know, somebody's going to step up eventually and finally make a play and, you know, be the guy that Nick Saban wants him to be at that number two corner.
Baker?
Yeah. I agree that the fact that so many guys now have played at that number two spot really almost benefits Alabama. And obviously it shows that there's some pros and cons to the situation, just like not really having a true number one wide receiver, as we mentioned before. But I think all these guys having experience when Alabama starts to play teams that do use more than, you know, just two or three wide receivers and really start to spread it out and throw on them, that it could become a concern, which is coming up here very soon after this Iron Bowl. But for the purposes of the Iron Bowl, I don't think it's a big deal. And I think you'll see this core and this, especially with Saban being such a good defensive back coach, I think you'll see a lot of these guys step up when they need to step up. You don't have a down the line here, besides possibly a Doriel Green Beckham, you really don't have a guy who's a Mike Evans size who's just given everyone so much trouble. But at the same time, Dion Ballou has been so good on the number one wide receivers that the number two corner spot has been able to be a revolving door, and Alabama still be able to have success against the pass either way.
Round us out, Michael.
Yeah, I don't think it's much of a concern, but actually for different reasons, just for the fact that if there is a guy that kind of stumbles up here or there, you can always have Landon Collins or Ha Ha Clinton Dix, you know, kind of spy above them and just constantly, like, keep control of, like, just make sure that there's no deep plays or anything. I mean, Landon Collins has one interception. He has a fumble recovery. He has a fumble or a forced fumble. And then, of course, seven pass deflects. And then it's just the full core of that of the backfield in Alabama. It's just it's so good that you don't even have to worry about it.
We get our final score predictions from everybody here on the Crimson Tide Game Day podcast edition for the 2013 Iron Bowl. Brooks is going to be with us later on in the show, so we'll get your final score prediction later on. And Baker predicted a 27-13 win for the Crimson Tide earlier in the show. So, Michael, give us your final score prediction to round us out here.
I don't think Alabama's going to have any trouble in this game. I think it's probably going to be 38-7. I don't see Auburn scoring much just because Alabama is able to stop the run really well the entire game.
As we mentioned, Brooks is going to stay with us here on the Crimson Tide Game Day podcast as we break down the running backs and the linebackers. Brooks Carter being joined here by Scott Braswell and Avery Nelson to break down the running backs and the linebackers in Crimson Tide Game Day podcast edition for the 2013 Iron Bowl. And we'll continue to pick on you, Brooks. We'll start with you. What exactly about Auburn's running back core makes it so difficult to defend? Because it seems like 11 teams have tried and 11 teams have failed, outside of LSU, of course.
I think it's really the scheming by Gus Malzahn, the offense that they run. You know, they run a lot of just basic plays. You know, they run the veer, you know, stuff like that, you know, that they used to run back in the 60s and 70s out of the wishbone, but they run it out of a spread-style offense and get everyone spread out. And it's more about the scheming. Don't get me wrong, Auburn's got a lot of talented guys. Trey Mason is probably one of the best running backs in the country, but I think it's more due to the scheming and how, you know, how well they game plan and stuff that I think it's that's where all their statistics are coming from.
Scott?
Well, I think what makes them so tough is that there's so many of them. I mean, they don't have just one good running back. So they got two or three guys on any given play can run one. Mm-hmm. And that includes Nick Marshall. That includes Cameron Artis Payne, Corey Grant. Some guys that haven't gotten as much publicity, but they can break one any really carry. I think that's what makes them especially tough.
Round us out, Avery.
Well, I think three things make them so tough. One being they have elite speed. Guys like Trey Mason can really get around the edge and really beat you with their speed. Two, they run a lot of smoke and mirrors plays where they'll bring a wide receiver across the formation and try to confuse the linebackers, so they have to really be focused during the game. And three, they run that veer option where the quarterback has three options, whether he can run it himself, hand it off, or pass it, and that makes it really difficult for the defense to be able to read that offense.
Now we'll start with you this time, Scott. We saw T.J. Yeldon miss the Chattanooga game for a sprained ankle. Coach Saban said in the postgame he would have been able to play if Alabama were playing a more formidable opponent this week. But we've seen high ankle sprains really mess up some seasons across the Alabama team over the past years. Just look at Bradley Sylvie, the number two cornerback spot this year. He was supposed to be back two or three weeks ago, and he hasn't played any action since. Is T.J. Yeldon's ability to play in this game really the swing between confidence and chaos in the Alabama running game?
I'm going to say confidence, because I think we haven't yet seen Kenyon Drake be the official guy yet. Yeldon's kind of shouldered some of the load for that, so I think it's going to be good getting back in there. But I think it's also a risk because he's going to be kind of rusty. And given how we saw a little bit of unfocus in the Mississippi State game with the fumble, it may be kind of a have him on a short leash kind of thing at the very beginning, kind of let him get into it or whatnot. So it may be a thing where if you get out 7-0, 14-0, you might want to give him some more carries. But I think right now Kenyon Drake looked pretty good on Saturday against Chattanooga. So maybe a thing where you start Drake and kind of ease Yeldon into it a little bit as the game goes along, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Avery?
Well, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. As you said, Nick Saban said it was more of a precautionary issue. But Alabama is known for having depth at running back. They have guys like Kenyon Drake and Derrick Henry who can come in if necessary and really perform up to a very high level. And other than just the running backs, there are so many weapons around the field for Alabama with O.J. Howard and guys like Amari Cooper that can make plays. It's not that big of a worry for me.
Round it out, Brooks.
Well, you mentioned O.J. Howard and Amari Cooper. That's in the pass game, and that's where this scares me the most at, is T.J. Yeldon's the most experienced running back that they have, and he is, and with being one of the most experienced, he's the best back that they have in pass protection, and that is so key. Nick Saban will not play you at running back if you cannot pass protect, and since him being the most experienced running back, I think Alabama's going to air it out a lot against Auburn on today. And so that's what scares me. I think you know, if T.J. Yeldon's not healthy and can't be effective in pass protection, I could see, you know, maybe some sacks and stuff coming from that with you know, the defense getting through on guys like Kenyon Drake or Derrick Henry.
As we move to the linebackers part of this breakdown, we'll start with you on the first one, Avery. We've mentioned throughout the show Auburn's 4-2-5 defense. We're going to focus on those two. Do Jake Holland and Casanova McKenzie, among some of the other reserve linebackers for Auburn, have the ability to do enough up front to stop Alabama from imposing its will on the line of scrimmage like it has and has not at times throughout the course of the year? What do you think, Avery?
Well, I think Jake Holland and Casanova McKenzie, Holland being a senior and McKenzie being a sophomore, very talented sophomore, but I just don't think he personally has enough experience as a linebacker in this team. And they're going to have a really tough time against this Alabama offense because their MO is to beat the will out of you and make you quit. And so I think Auburn's going to have a really tough time. I don't think those two guys have enough in them to really be the two main people to stop the offense.
Brooks?
Like I said earlier, I've never been a culprit of the 4-2-5 defense. I don't like that. I mean, you're pretty much running a nickel the entire game. And, you know, Alabama, likes at any given time, will have two, three tight ends and you know, in the game to block, you know, and that's 7-8 guys, and they're going to be able to match up and I think physically dominate. And, you know, they got athletic tight ends that can get up, that are big and physical, and can get up onto the linebackers and, you know, get to that second level. I mean, and Auburn's given up over 200 is given up over 200 yards rushing in half of their SEC and over half of their SEC games to this point in the season, and they're giving up almost 5 yards a carry in those games. So I think Alabama's going to have enough. I don't think those guys will be sufficient enough to be able to stop them in this game.
Round us out, Scott.
Well, I agree with what you guys have been saying. I think these two guys by themselves can't do it alone. They're going to have a complete team effort. You know, Auburn defensively has struggled mightily. We saw that in the second half of the Georgia game where Georgia really got into a rhythm. And this is a defense that's given up over 400 yards per game. And they're going to have all 11 of those guys almost play a perfect game. I'm going to go ahead and say it. They have to. There's not a lot of margin for error for them. So these two guys are going to have a lot of help.
Now, as we go from the Auburn linebackers to the Alabama linebackers, ended with you, Scott. We'll start with you this time. You know what you're going to get from C.J. Mosley. There's a reason he's been nominated for almost every defensive postseason award you can get as a linebacker. But which one outside of C.J. Mosley is more important? The outside linebacker by committee approach from Xavier Dixon, Adrian Hubbard, and Denzel Duvall being able to contain the edge on Auburn's offense, or Trey DePriest being able to stuff the run up the middle? Because as we mentioned earlier when we were talking about the running backs, Auburn's run attack is so versatile, you've got to be able to do both. Which one do you place more importance on?
I'm going to say Trey DePriest right now because I just haven't seen Nick Marshall be able to throw the ball consistently. So if they're able to stop the run right away and take the crowd out of it and get kind of Gus Malzahn on his heels, that's what I think is the most important factor in this game. If you stop the run attack and you don't get faked out by all the misdirection, all the pizzazz, that's the key in the game. So I think, honestly, DePriest can have a big role. But I think at the same time, Dixon, Hubbard, those guys like you just mentioned are also going to have a big role. But I think right now DePriest is going to have to play a huge part in that defense.
Brooks?
I think it's containing the outside, holding the edge, because if you look since Saban has been here, what has gotten Alabama beat, it's been that's where they've been beat, and it's been, you know, guys getting to the edge and stuff. You're not going to beat Alabama up the middle. That's plain and simple. They have one of the best interior defenses and have had for years. Since Nick Saban has been here, they've been so good in the interior that you can't even – it's almost ineffective to even try to run the ball up the middle. And, you know, so teams try to spread it out and get to the outside and beat you on the outside. So they're going to have containment and be disciplined. And if they do that, they're going to be able to win this game.
Round it out, Avery.
Well, I think the key to Alabama winning this game is going to be holding the edge. The best way to beat Alabama, like you said, is to stretch them out and get to the outside. And so if Dixon and Duvall and those guys can hold the edge, it's going to be a lot easier forcing them to run inside. If the outside linebackers can funnel everything back inside, there's guys in the middle like Brandon Ivory. Those guys are going to have they're going to manhandle the Auburn offensive line, I think. They're just too much to handle. They'll handle the running game. And it's going to be a key if Dixon and Duvall can hold the edge.